We're going to read verses 13 through, I think we're going to stop at 17 and look at the text. Jesus asked his disciples two questions in this passage, and we're going to kind of dive into those two questions. So we're going to read it, ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We're going to look at these two questions that Jesus asked. So read with me. Matthew 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying," here's question one, "whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?" There's question two. "And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we just come before your throne as humble as we know how, and we're just so thankful that you love us, Lord, that you've given us the freedom to come worship you, to preach, thus saith the word of God, and to listen. I ask you, Lord, to put your hand on all our teachers in Awana, our listeners. I thank you, and I pray you would bless them tremendously for their service. And I pray, God, that you would bless this service, that we would be found caught doing your will at all times. And Lord, help us to search our hearts, Father, as we have to every day, and try to be closer than we were the day before. I pray, God, that you would anoint these words that you've given me. I thank you for them. Lord, help me to share very clearly what you've given me. Father, I pray for our prayer request. I lift up each and every one of them, and I ask the power of God to heal, to save. And we just want to thank you, Lord, that you hear our request. Lord, there's not one that doesn't go to you, Father, and I know that you hear them. And I thank you for that, and I thank you that you are able to answer. Father, we have a lot of sickness in our house, and I just pray that you would heal, Father. I pray you'd reach down and heal my dad in the name of Jesus, and I pray, God, that your will would be done there. Father, as we have sickness, Brother Wayne Saxton, he's sick, Father, and I ask you to touch his heart, touch his soul, touch his body and his family, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray, and we thank you that you answer. Lord, speak tonight. We give you the praise. We are nothing without you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's look at these two questions that Jesus asked his disciples. And I believe Jesus wrote this down. John was able to quote this and give it to us today so it would impact our life and our way of walk with Jesus. And the reason I went here, this was our Awana lesson tonight. But boy, it just fits a service like this perfect. Jesus asked his disciples two questions, and as we look at, what do you ask a question for? When you ask somebody a question, why do you ask them? Obviously, you're expecting a response, right? You're expecting somebody, if I'm going to ask you something, I'm expected for you to give me a response. It'd be very disrespectful if I asked my wife something and she didn't respond to me. Most of the time, it's the other way around, though. Sometimes she'll ask me and I won't respond. And you know how sorry that is? It's because I ain't listening half the time. And when Jesus gets here and he's telling these disciples or asking these disciples two questions, they're all ears. They're listening. And that's what we should be when we look at the Word of God. So let's read these two questions. Let's kind of dive into question number one in verse number 13. It says this: "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" There's question one. I heard it perfect. A preacher that I heard when he was preaching on this message, it stuck with me when he said this. It fits perfect. The two questions, the first one was a pretest. Everybody knows what a pretest is. It's before the actual test, and most of the time it's not really graded. Most of the time it's kind of warming you up to get to the second question. That's what we got here. Question number one is kind of a pretest of what Jesus asked. And the first question he says is, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I believe that's a popular question. In the world that you live, that's a pretty popular question. What do people think about Jesus? What do people say about Jesus? Most of the time, they're not going to say it out loud, but they're going to think it. In this text right here, this is a very popular question in the world around Jesus. You can imagine the miracles that he's done. You can imagine the healings and the savings and all the people coming, the multitudes that followed Jesus. A lot of people started asking questions. In this text and on previously in the chapter and throughout the Gospels, there's one instance I remember even the disciples asked who Jesus was. It was a story where Jesus calmed the sea. And then right there at the end, he said, the disciples all said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and seas obey him?" So they asked that question, who is this man? He's not like everybody else. And we must ask that same question, who do men say that Jesus is? And I believe that many people had many different answers about who this man Jesus was. Let's look at that verse in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He asked the question, and then he gets many different answers in verse number 14. The disciples start telling him, "Well, this is who they say you are." Verse 14, let's look at them. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So let's kind of dive into what that text says. The first answer the disciples give, people say, "You're John the Baptist." First thing they say, and I believe that's because many people said that. If you want to flip over and do your homework in Matthew chapter 14, I think it's verses 1 and 2, Jesus is described by Herod as John the Baptist. You remember, if you know much about your Bible, Herod killed John. But he says, "This man, that's got to be John. He must have rose from the dead. I know I killed him, but that man's got to be John the Baptist." That's what he said about Jesus. I'm going to flip over and read it. 14, verse 1, "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, 'This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth himself in him.'" So there's the first thing the disciples said. When Jesus asked him the question, he said, "Hey, a lot of people are saying you're John," because Herod started that. Next thing it says, not only was he John the Baptist, but they also described him as Elijah, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. Think about that. They didn't just describe Jesus as an ordinary Joe, did they? They described Jesus as somebody with power, somebody that was an upstanding man, somebody that was holy. And I thank God for that, because he lived that holy life for me. They said he was Elijah in verse number 14. It also says he was Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You remember Jeremiah? They called him the weeping prophet. He wrote a whole book about the lamentations, lamenting, crying. And they looked at the meekness and the lowliness of Jesus, about how humble he was, and he said, some people said, that's got to be Jeremiah. And so Jesus is described as many different answers in this text. And I'm sure there were more that they didn't even say. But there were many different answers. But if you want to look at this in verse 14, there were many different answerers, being people that said. Let's look in kind of detail in verse 14. First three words, it says, "And they said." What does that mean? Means more than one person. It means a lot of the disciples started telling Jesus what other people thought. I thought about that, and that stuck out to me, because many different people say many different things about Jesus. If you walked out in the world, don't everybody think he's the Savior? I want you to know that. Nope, and not everybody thinks that he's the Son of God. Not everybody thinks that he came to seek and to save those which were lost, but I thank God he did. And we look at this scripture, and the disciples gave many different answers. And on this particular question, if you look at verse number 13 and 14, the disciples, they made many different answers. It says, they answered. And I believe that this is kind of a pretest, because Jesus was really leading to question two. So let's kind of dive into question two. Now, the question number one was it was a popular question. There were many different answers. But let's look at question number two, verse 15. It says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? The pretest was this. Whom do others say that I am? They gave their answer. They gave their comments. One disciple said this. One disciple said that. Jesus was driving home a point to verse number 15. And the second question he asked is, what do you say about me? Well, not what the world says. It's not about what other people say about Jesus. Now, I'll go as far as this. It's not about what the church thinks about Jesus as much as it means on what I say and what you say and what the Bible has to say. Because if our church is not lined up with what the Bible has to say, our church is not right. Amen? If we believe that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God, we've got it wrong. And so Jesus asked, who do other people say that I am? And he's getting to the point of, who do you say that I am? And if your opinion about Jesus is not that what Peter has to say in the next verse, it's wrong. If I don't believe it, it's wrong. Because Jesus gives us not only that popular question in question number one, but in this verse, it gets to a personal question. Very personal question. When you ask other people their opinion, it's not very personal. But when somebody asks what your opinion is, that gets deep down and personal. So he says in verse number 15, but whom say ye that I am? It goes from others to your. I wrote this down, and I believe it fits well with this text. I wrote down, a personal question demands a personal response. If you ask me something about my life, I can't tell you about somebody else's life at that point. I can't try to steer. I can't get out of the way. I've got to answer it very personally. And when Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? The disciples couldn't no longer say about what everybody else said. It got down in their heart. It got down in their soul. It got down in their mind. And that personal question that he asked led to a personal answer because only one disciple answered. Look at verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered. Now let's look back and let's compare and contrast here to verse number 14 and verse number 16. When it was popular, when there were many different answers, many different people said something. But when it got personal, only one man responded. I believe that's teaching us something. We can't give other people's opinion when Jesus asks who we say he is. When Jesus knocks on your heart's door, you can't ask, who do you say? You've got to say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because if there's any other answer that does not fit with the Bible, we've got to conform to the Bible. Amen? I can't conform my opinion to what I think. I've got to conform in everything I do every single day to what the Word of God says. If it makes me feel bad, I've got to go that way. If it makes me embarrassed, I've got to go that way. If I've got to go back and apologize to somebody, I've got to go to what the Bible has to say. If the Bible tells me it's wrong, I've got to just suck it up and go with what the Bible has to say. I've got to. If I'm going to live a living, true Christian life, I've got to go to what the Bible says. And when they asked the question, or when they answered the question, it stopped being popular and it became very personal. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And only one man responded. It was Simon Peter. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A great example that I thought about, we talk about a very popular question to a very personal question. If I ask the group in here tonight and I say this, what's the best way to get to Union Chapel? I believe many different people are going to give me many different answers based off where you live. If I live in the town of Beaverton, the best way for you, if you live in Detroit, is not to go through Beaverton, is it? It's not the best way. Vice versa. So if I go out here and ask every single person in just an open conversation, what's the best way? You're going to give me different answers. But when I say, hey, JD, what's the best way to get to Union Chapel? I'm going to give you one answer. It's how I get to church. All the way out here, and you turn right into the church, and I'm here. But if I ask Garrett Barnes, you know what he's going to say? It's not going to be go to Beaverton. He's going to say, well, you get on Tree Farm, you get down here, you get on Cruz Road, you get down Mount Hebron Road, you're going to take a left, go down County Road 49, take a right. You get what I'm saying. And you're going to be at the house of God. Because it was a personal question. And I can't give somebody else's answer if I've been asked a personal question. That's a little example. Jesus says, okay, who does people say that I am? But he gets down to the nitty-gritty. And he says, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when Peter says that, it's not only a personal question, it leads Peter to a personal confession. Don't lose me. He was asked a personal question, but Peter gave a personal confession. He said, I know who you are. I don't care what other people say, I know who you are. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter couldn't give anybody else's opinion anymore. I love how back in chapter number 14, toward the end of chapter 14, Peter walks on the water. You know the story. He walks on the water, and if you want to flip back there, that's great. Anyway, you know the story. He falls because he takes his eyes off Jesus. Jesus saves him, picks him up out of the water. They get back into the boat, and in verse number 33, the disciples were in the boat, and they said this, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Every person in the boat collectively said, you are the Son of God. I believe that was kind of going back to our first question, that was kind of a popular answer. If I just saw Jesus walk on water and calm the sea, I'm going to think he's the Son of God. And so was everybody else. I believe maybe one person said it and the whole group said, hey, that's a good answer. Let's say it. But just two chapters over, the man who fell in the water is now the man who confesses Jesus Christ personally. Does that make sense? It was publicly, but it wasn't personal until chapter 16. He says, I know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe that teaches me something. I can't go off my wife's religion. I can't go off the people that I hang out with. I can't go off what they do. Even though they may follow Jesus, I don't have a collective relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? I hope I'm not making a mess. If I have friends, I'm so thankful I've got godly friends. But the thing about it is, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so I may have many friends that love Jesus and follow Jesus. That's not enough. And in the Bible, Peter in chapter 14, man, he had the disciples. They were many people that loved Jesus and followed Jesus. And in that text, they said, hey, you're the Son of God. They all said it. But the difference is in chapter 16, Peter made it public, personal. He said, I know what I said then. I know what we all said then. But Jesus, I'm going to confess on my own that I know who you are. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That gives me a great example. I can't go off what my parents believed in. I can't go off what my grandparents believed in. Man, they all believe in Jesus. But what matters is my own personal relationship. And what matters is your own personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Peter got it right. He says, I'm going to make a personal confession, and that's what really matters. The reason I say that is because you know the Romans Road, don't you? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. This is where we'll close at tonight and look at the text. it is of the utmost importance not to have a popular idea about Jesus. It's of the utmost importance to have a personal relationship with Jesus, because in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it's the way to be saved. But the first couple words say this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You see where I'm going with this? Peter goes back in Matthew and he said, I'm going to publicly confess that you are the Son of God. And the way to be saved is not for a bunch of friends to get together and come down the altar and we all decide to go together. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of young folks, man, hey, if one buddy gets up to get saved, the other one's going to go just not look crazy. Am I not lying? People get up, man. And they come down here and they sit here at the altar, and if one person gives their life to Jesus, the next man, of course he's going to say it. He's going to be pressured into it. But it's not about what other people say. It's not about what those other answers were. It's not about if he was John the Baptist or if he was Jeremiah or if he was Elijah or one of the prophets. It's about who do you say that Jesus is? What is your confession about Jesus? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Boy, that just tickles my soul. Because I'm not going to stand before Jesus off what Holly believes. You're not going to stand before Jesus on what your other friends believe, what your spouse believes, what your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. What your parents believe. Man, if your parent was a preacher, it don't matter. What matters is if what you say about Jesus is true or not. If you walk up into heaven and you walk up at them gates and you got the answer wrong, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's all in vain. But the way to be saved is, number one, confess with your mouth. Do what Peter done. He says, I'm not going to go off what everybody else says. I'm going to go off what I know. And I thank God for that. So my challenge tonight, as we've looked at this text, is make sure your life is not built upon somebody else's foundation. That's what I'm trying to say. Make sure, and you know what Matthew says, make sure it's not built upon sand. Make sure it's built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Make sure that your life is built upon Jesus and start building more. That's my challenge tonight. Peter said, hey, I've got a bunch of good buddies. We follow Jesus. And even though they may love you, Lord, I want you to know what I believe. I believe that you're my Savior. I believe that you're my Lord. I believe that you came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what I believe, and that's what you believe if you live for Jesus. You live that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save you. And I thank God for that night he knocked on my heart's door. Thank God that he saved my soul, because it was personal. Nobody else got saved the day I got saved. But I did. Jesus washed my sins away. And I can stand before you tonight and I can say that we've went down the Romans road, that I've went down the Romans road. And if you're blood-bought born again, you went down the Romans road, confessed with your mouth, and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by God. And that's what a personal confession is about. Two questions Jesus asked. Number one, he says, what do other people think? But the real question is, what do you think about Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you love me. I thank you that you came to save me, Lord, and that you died upon that cross for me. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bless what you've spoken. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. I thank you, Father, that you're able to keep us. Father, that we can stand before you as if we've never sinned because of what Jesus done. And we live through that. Pray you would bless our week, Father. Help us to be examples for you, and help us to share what you've done in our hearts. We love you and we thank you. And it's all in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. What a blessed day.